Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Welcome once again. And you know what time it is. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, JT. And this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. We do have a chat room. The chat room is always open for your pleasure. And I want you to use the chat room to ask a question, statement, make a statement, or comment, whatever. Let's listen to the Master Plan. I'll be back in a short minute to kick this show off. We'll be right back.
Out of fear, you fed me sweet nothing, stored honey in my ear. My day once gray, now it's sunny and clear. Every single minute missing them and wanting them near. No means to escape, feeling trapped, feeling restless. I'm in the walls of a maze with no exits. Pounding my heart in my solar plexus. Being in love is revealing all of my lessons. All in one, pleasure and torture sun. So strong, make me feel like I can orbit the sun. Some day holiday, suffocating, short of lung. My heart's staying safe, but I'm thinking I ought to run. Even the hurt is passionate, never how we imagine it. But losing love has gotta be better than never having it. Our souls learn, we can't hold it firm. Maybe it'll return, but for now I gotta
let go.
All right.
There can be only one.
That's right. And there's only one. It's JT, a.k.a. the Master. And like I said, this is the Master Plan. Welcome to a fine Memorial Day Sunday. I appreciate you spending the time listening to me babble on for an hour. Yes, we're here for an hour talking the NBA, talking a little fantasy baseball, and whatever else happens to hit my small brain and we talk about. You know how it is. And we'll be talking about quite a few things here. So sit back, relax, and hopefully I enlighten your day for the short time that I'm on. All right, as you all know, last night, yesterday, in the NBA, the big fundamental, okay, besides going through or having filed against in a family court or whatever court it is, Tim Duncan, in the middle, I wouldn't say middle, but in the beginnings of going through a divorce proceeding, his wife filed for a divorce, has been playing exceptional basketball throughout the season, for one, and throughout these playoffs, for another. And with that being said, Memphis going home down 0-2 to the San Antonio Spurs pretty much had a desperation and a need, especially a need, to win this game at home, because the fact is it's very hard especially when you're playing in the conference final, to go down 0-3 to a team and then have to beat that team twice on their home court. Besides having to win four straight. And I don't think they're going to be able to do it. What happened last night was that the San Antonio Spurs came into Memphis Coliseum, or whatever Coliseum you want to call it, into Memphis's home court, where Memphis had, if I'm not mistaken, hadn't been beaten on their home court all playoff season and had an outstanding record on their home court all in the regular season. It took a bit. They had to go to overtime, but it determined Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili prevailed in overtime and take a commanding 3-0 lead in the NBA Finals playoffs. So it's just a matter of time. Today is yesterday was Saturday. I imagine they're going to play again on maybe Memorial Day, maybe Tuesday. I think, let me see what day they're going to play. Hold on a minute here, and I'll go back and find out exactly when they're going to play again, and then I can give you some accurate information. Come on, computer. Okay. The next game, yeah, see, you know, they push these games out, and the next game is tomorrow on ESPN at 9 o'clock, where the Memphis Grizzlies, to salvage any kind of self-respect and some type of legitimacy, they have to at least win this game, the last game that they're going to be probably playing at home for the playoffs, for the basketball season, for their basketball season. So if they don't, San Antonio closes them out at, excuse me, four games, and wait for the winner of the Miami and Indiana series. And all I can say is this. On the game that was played last night, it was a hard-fought game. The Memphis Grizzlies gave a very stout performance, but Tim Duncan, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, was a stronger force. Let's see. Let me see this box score. I got to see how Paul Gasol had 16 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And Zach Randolph had 14 points, 15 rebounds, and no blocks, no assists. The telling story is this, okay? The bench scoring is, wow, it's just too much Tony Parker in this game. Too much Tony Parker and Tim Duncan to be flat out telling you how it is. Tony Parker, Tony Parker and Tim Duncan worked very well in this game, and despite the early turnovers that took place in the first half of the game, Coach Greg Popovich set them straight at halftime, and they came out more focused and took care of the basketball a lot better than they had in the prior two quarters. And it went down to in overtime where they basically took over. The score at the end of the game was 104-93, and they completely played Memphis. Memphis had to win that in regulation time, and they were completely outplayed 18-7 in overtime. And that was quite nasty, was the deciding factor in what happened in the game. Now we move on to Miami and Indiana playing the second game. No, playing their first game in Indiana, going 1-1. In my opinion, Indiana has got the momentum. Indiana seems like they're the better team. Indiana seems like they're the most complete team, being able to play inside and be able to play on the wings, and also able to play better, need I say it, from the backcourt. Paul George and George Hill have been very formidable for the world champs. And I'll say it, I've said it in every show that I've been on in this past week, that, and I said it vehemently on Thursday, that Indiana should have been up 2-0 in this game. They should have won the first game, and they're probably kicking themselves right now, because the fact is they should have been up 2-0 going home rather than splitting in Miami. But it is what it is. You have to move on from that. I have to give kudos to Indiana for bouncing back the way they did. I didn't think they would, to tell you the truth. I thought that the win that they the loss that they had against the Miami Heat in the last seconds was going to be a devastating loss that would take more than one game to get over. Shows you the maturity of this team from last year to this year. When they took in the Miami Heat to 7, they were a lot younger team. Paul George and George Hill are 1 year older. Now they also have Roy Hibbert, who's 1 year older, 1 year more experienced. And the fact is that Miami has trouble in two phases of the game that I pointed out before. They don't really have a big, strong, big presence in the middle like a Roy Hibbert. Chris Bosh I wouldn't say a soft, but Chris Bosh is not the banger five, number five on your lineup. So he for them all tests and purposes, if Roy Hibbert wants to enforce his presence, he can do so against the lighter in the pants, Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh is more of a finesse type of player. He's not a physical player like Roy Hibbert. So Roy Hibbert can enforce his will on Chris Bosh if he wants to. And also, they have problems with a dynamic point guard. They have problems with guards that are quick and dynamic. Well, poor George and George Hill have been playing exceptionally well. And I said it last yesterday on the FSP show, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Vic is the host of that. That I lost my train of thought here. I said it on the show yesterday that. The the media, and it wasn't me. I mean, the so-called experts were surprised how the Knicks shooting, their outside shooting, and their play diminished when they played the Indiana Pacers. Knicks seemed to have a hard time getting their shots, and when they did get their shots, making their shots, turning the ball over. Well, deja vu all over again. Now, if it happens once, you may say it's a fluke. But if it happens again, it's not a fluke. And it's not a fluke in two different series, back-to-back games in this series here. It's not a fluke that Miami is turning the ball over. It's not a fluke that they're having trouble finding their shots, or even when they get the shots, make the shots go down. Because Indiana is a very good defensive team. What happens when you do get your shot? Oh, let me put it this way. For the most part, shots are contested. Okay, so you have a difficult shot because Indiana plays very good man-to-man defense. So that's one way your shot goes down because of the type of defense Indiana plays. Next thing, when you have an open shot, the offensive player, because of the pressure the defense has been putting on you, for the most part, now they're professionals, I understand that, but they're human too. And you have a tendency, because you've been pressured all the time, and when you get an open shot, you have a tendency to rush your shot. So if you rush your shot, quite a bit of times, the shot will not go in. So even if they're not head up on you, even if you do have a chance on the offensive side against Indiana, the way they're presently playing, and you get an open shot, you have a tendency to rush your shot, and when you rush your shot, it doesn't go in. So their defense is being effective twofold. That's what's happening, in my opinion, in Miami. Now, people say Miami will make a comeback. Well, it's been two games, and those two games were in Miami. And for the most part, most of the time, role players, players coming off the bench, don't play that well on the road. They play a lot better when they're home and don't play that well on the road. And everybody needs a bench to play to be able to win, especially at this level, especially when it comes to a playoff basketball, and at this level, this is the finals of the conference finals. This is the conference finals. And you need some type of bench to be able to play effectively and win as a team. So they won a split in Miami. In essence, in my opinion, they won two in Miami, because what happened in Miami in the first game and the second game was basically the same thing. Miami got outplayed. Miami has to be able to adjust to what Indiana is doing to them from play to play, quarter to quarter, half to half. If they don't do that, if Eric Spoelstra doesn't get this team to the right place in their adjustments against Indiana, the same result is going to happen in the last game, in the next game, as it happened in the last game. Plain and simple. There's no two ways about it. I'm really excited because I thought, and I said it yesterday, and one of the callers that called in yesterday didn't think I was right, but I honestly believe that Miami Heat are in real big trouble because they don't have an answer for Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert is the key to the series, and I think he knows that. He's the key to this series. He plays well, they win. He's in the game at crucial points in the game. They win that. So Roy Hibbert, in my opinion, is the key, the absolute key to this game, because Miami doesn't have an answer for the big man. And that's been one of their weaknesses. They're a slashing and a jump shooting team. And Dwayne Wade is hurting. So you never know what type of game you're going to get from Dwayne Wade. Is it going to be the Dwayne Wade that his knee is going to permit him to play a good game? Or is it going to be a Dwayne Wade that he's going to be, as he say, a facilitator because his knees bother him and he can't do the things that he's normally accustomed to doing? Only Dwayne Wade can tell you that. Only watching the game will tell you that. I'd have to tune in at tonight's game or today's game to watch it. It's going to be on 8:30 p.m. tonight. So you can watch the game and party at the same time. Turn it volume down, turn the volume up depending on where you're at. Cook it on the grill out at night night grilling. Or have whether you're in a party or a pool party, a night pool party or whatever, and watching the game, it's going to be on. More ways than one, it's going to be on. Now, several so-called experts still think Miami is, because they're the champs and they haven't been pushed out of the playoffs, yes, Miami's the team to beat. No doubt about it. I'm not a Miami Heat fan. I'm not a LeBron James fan. They've been playing well. The team has been playing well up until this point. But who has Miami going up against? Just think about it. Who has Miami gone up against? For one, they went up against the number 8 team, the Milwaukee Bucks. Not a very good team. Had a losing record going into the playoffs. Pretty much that was a scrimmage for 4 games. They breezed through that. Really weren't tested that much. Then they go up against a depleted but rugged and tough, very tough, Chicago Bulls team. They were depleted and still gave Miami somewhat of a rough time. Quite naturally, Chicago didn't have the pieces to push them over the hump, but Miami was pushed a little bit more. Now they go up against a team, just like Miami, that is healthy. That is healthy. They have all their parts except for Danny Granger. But they've been playing well without Danny Granger. So check this out. Now they have a real challenge. A real challenge. Not something like Milwaukee tried to put up to them. Not a depleted team like, a really depleted team like Chicago. They have a team, for the most part, has been playing without one of their big players, Danny Granger. But because of the team makeup they have, and the coaching has a very, very extremely good chance of unseating the champs. So Miami has to go in there with a mindset that it's desperation time. We have to win this game. No two ways about it. This is the must-win game for Miami. They don't win this game, they don't win the series. If I'm not mistaken, in the playoffs, the team that wins game 3, it's over 70 or close to 75% of the time they win the series. So just think about that. You win game three. Game three is usually on the lesser seed's court. You win game three, you have a strong chance, especially if you're up 2-0 or 1-1. Now, if you're the home team of game three and you split on the road, you have a very strong chance of going up 3-1 before you go back to the other court. So you have an added incentive. Let's get this done quick. Let's not let them hang around. Let's not let them hang around and give them a chance to get the best of us. Let's try to work as hard as we can for as long as we can try to end this quick. Get some rest. Because the finals is going to be the finals. Finals is always rough. Finals is always exciting, regardless of who it is. Now, let's just project this. San Antonio is a given. There's no way New Memphis is coming back. So, right there, you don't have OKC. You don't have the Lakers. You don't have the LA Clippers. You don't have any big drawing. It's San Antonio. San Antonio is a methodical team, not a flashy team, but they always seem to get the job done. Okay, so you know you're getting San Antonio in the finals. Now you're hoping. Now this is where the conspiracy comes in. You're hoping that strange things don't happen, and for some reason, legitimately, Miami gets into the playoffs because that'll be a drawing card for the finals. But say, let's just say this, and I have a strange feeling that this can happen. And I hope the Indiana Pacers realize the moment, because this will be huge for Indiana getting to the next step. And I believe that they can do this. Now, suppose this. You got Indiana, small market. San Antonio, small market. What kind of drawing, meaning TV-wise, media-wise, I know it's the finals. I know it's the NBA finals. The last set of games in the NBA finals would be Indiana and San Antonio. How much of a drawing card would that be? Who would watch that on TV? Not having a marquee marquee city, and it'll be old school basketball. Just think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Just fantasize or think about that. Everybody's always interested in high-flying, dunking, and three-point shooting, and whatever else comes along with dynamic basketball. Indiana, San Antonio. Still have big men. Got Roy Hibbert against the big fundamental. Tim Duncan. Okay? Old school basketball. It's not going to be run up and down the court. It's going to be half-court basketball. Pass the ball into the big man. Big man kicks it out. Three-pointers, things like that. Or drive into the basket with Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. Or Paul George or George Hill jump shot. Just think about that. Who's going to watch that on TV if it happens? I will. I'm an old school guy, 59 years old, seen a lot, seen the progression of basketball. Some I agree with, some of them I don't. But it always did good to take a step back. That's why I play some old school music a lot of the times. when I open my show and close my show, is because I like to get that old school flavor that you don't forget about. It's always good to take a step back and take a breath, relax, and not always worrying about the newest thing going, the newest fad going. There's nothing wrong with some of the old stuff that's been going on. There's nothing wrong with, you know, getting back to the basics of how it used to be. A lot of things in this country would be better off if you go back to the basics of the way things used to be versus the way some of these things are right now. But it is what it is. It's always good to take a step back at some times, whatever, depending on what it is. Take a breath, breathe, and enjoy. Enjoy the people you're around. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the comfort that a lot of people in this country take for granted. With that being said, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. I'm going to move over to football before I transition into baseball, because this has been bothering me ever since I heard about this guy. This has been really bothering me, and I can't understand why it hasn't been. Well, I can understand because it's been followed by with nauseam for the longest, and people still are talking, but not as much as they were talking before. But I have to talk about this, all right, because this bothers me. Now, for those who don't know, and for those who, I guess, I don't know if they lost a lack of respect for me or whatever, but my point I made when I did it has been played out over the last year or so. I used to be a diehard Jet fan. Diehard. Live and breathe and bleed gangrene. Not anymore. Changed my team as of over a year ago, I think January, February of 2012. I declared myself no longer a Jet fan. Got lambasted by a few of just automatically abandoned my team, but it was for a reason. I've seen a lot of things and a lot of teases that the team, the Jets, have done to their fans. A lot of bad things that they've done. A lot of bad things that they decisions that they made, and the dysfunction of the team on player personnel moves had driven me to finally say I had enough. Now, one of the biggest cheerleaders of the Jets walked out on a game because they were playing so bad and hasn't been back since. And that's the fireman. For those who have been watching on TV or don't know about the Jets, man, Jets, the fireman, who's a real fireman in New York that cheers the Jets on and had the famous cheer, J-E-T-S, Jets, walked out on a game and he's a diehard fan. My point is this. If this guy walked out, things must be bad. Things were looking extremely bad. Everybody knows about the butt fumble, Mark Sanchez. That's one of the reasons why they got Geno Smith. A lot of people are down on Geno Smith. I think you got to have a wait and see attitude on him. Anything is better than Mark Sanchez, in my opinion. I'm not a Jet fan any longer. I'm a Houston Texan fan, and that's a whole other story. People want to know what the heck with the Houston Texans, but I like the way the organization it does what they do. And anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is this is just another. There was a whole Tim Tebow controversy. Why you picked Tim Tebow and then you didn't really use him for the whole season at all, and you finally decided to release him, and you don't sign Dustin Keller, you let him walk. You let Sean Green walk. You pick up first before you picked up traded for another player. You picked up a player from the Oakland Raiders, Mike Goodson. In four NFL seasons, Mike Goodson has totaled 160 carries for 722 yards and three touchdowns with seven fumbles. Now, in my opinion, those type of numbers don't justify, in my opinion, a three-year, $6.9 million contract that the Jets gave him this offseason. And now, okay, that's one thing. The other thing is this. That's even before we get to his off-field problems. Now, Goodson was arrested last week on drug and weapon charges. And from the article I've been reading in ProFootballTalk.com, that's no surprise from NFL people who knew Goodson's background. This is a quote from a scout from another team saying, "Do the Jets do background checks?" Now, of course, the Jets say they do, and they investigate players before signing them. But Mike Goodson's past includes a bunch of lawsuits over everything from child support to repeated failure to pay rent to refusing to pay the bill after buying jewelry on credit and skipping car payments. He's been sued by three different women for child support for a total of six children he fathered with them. He also didn't pay over $50,000 bill at a jewelry store. And the only way the store got his money back after they sued him, the money was garnished from his Raiders paycheck. Now, before Goodson went to was at the Raiders, he was with the Panthers. And when he was with the Panthers, he failed to pay his rent so often that he was sued for it three times and received two eviction notices. And Goodson also was sued by a man who sold him a $49,000 Mercedes, and Goodson said he didn't make the payments. So now the latest one is this drug and weapons charge. And from what I understand, he had thrown up on himself and was incoherent. He was so drunk he was incoherent when he was pulled over. Now, he wasn't driving. He was in the passenger seat. But he's got drug and weapons charges. And why? Why? And why would, if you know this guy, you know, I understand all this guy's personal issues. And a lot of guys have personal issues throughout the professional sports, including the NFL. But those things like that have to relate to character. Those things like that have to relate to what type of guy, person you are. Those things like that lead you to the point where you get this guy. He was pulled over. Like I said, he was in a passenger seat, but he was pulled over. And he was arrested for drug and weapons charges. And you give this guy who's only had less than 200 carries, less than 1,000 yards, a three-year deal worth almost $7 million. Makes no sense to me. How desperate were you for a running back that you had to do that? There's plenty of running backs that you could have grabbed with a lot better character than Mike Goodson. All you had to do is wait. All you had to do is wait. There's a lot more guys. There was a lot of guys out there that you could have grabbed and got a decent buck for. You try. I don't know if you thought this guy was on the cheap. Now you have a new GM. And I don't know if the GM wanted to make a splash or not, but to grab Mike Goodson, now I did think this was a good signing at the time. But I'm not the NFL, and I don't get the opportunity to do background checks like they do and have the investigators of teams that they have available to them. So, with all this knowledge and all the resources you have to be able to pick out who the good guys are and who the guys you really don't want on your team are, and you pick this guy, something tells me someone's not doing their homework. Something tells me Maybe the Jets happened to make a mistake, and it's the jury's still out. It's like supposedly did a decent job with the Seahawks. That's where it came from, and now he's with the Jets. But thank God you picked up another running back that you're probably going to hang your hat on. And see how he performs. He had the better track record, hopefully, than Mr. Goodson. All right, like I said, this is the master plan, and I am JT, and the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to listen or talk to me. All right. Let's move on. We got about 17 minutes left in the show, and let's move on to fantasy baseball. Okay. Right now, I am in two leagues. I don't play too much fantasy baseball. I play more fantasy football than I do fantasy baseball. This is my second year in fantasy baseball. I won the league, the one and only league I was played in last year. The host, Mr. Vic Gardner of the FSP show, invited me into a league last year, and I was in first place from start to finish and won it. Won the league, the money league, and he re-invited me back to the same league. And quite naturally, if you listen to some of my other shows, I had suggested a philosophy of drafting. And this is the philosophy I said. I said that it was a 23-man roster, something like that, whatever it is. And I had said that you don't pick in the first four rounds, at least the first four rounds, a pitcher that you wait, that you gather your everyday players first, and then go for your pitcher. Okay? Well, and let me get this guy in. He just decided to call in. This is the master plan, and you're talking to the master, JT. Welcome, Mr. Gardner. How are you today?
I'm good, Mr. Fieldhand.
Mr. Fieldhand. You know, Mr. Fieldhand. Yes, the boss. Yes, the boss. I'll be your Fieldhand. You know what Fieldhands do, right? Do you know what Fieldhands do?
Yeah, tend to the crops.
Yeah. I tend to the crops. Let me put it this way. The field hand smiles in your face and dogs you out.
In the back.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't turn your back on the field, man.
That's you.
Anyway, one of my trades went through, and I'm very happy for this. And you must have been listening because you called in the exact time I'm starting to talk about fantasy baseball. You couldn't have timed it any better because I just started talking about fantasy baseball, and while you're here, I'll do this while you're here. Okay, people. Like I said, I was reinvited back to this league this year that I won last year, and that I had given you a philosophy before the draft and before baseball season started how I was going to draft. I was saying about the fifth or sixth round, give or take that. Take your pitcher there. Pick up your everyday players before that, and then start picking up your pitchers. With the fact is being that there's a lot of pitching out there. Even if you don't pick up a lot of pitchers during the draft, you can pick up pitchers during the year because the fact is there's a lot of pitchers that blossom or come about after the draft or after the year starts that aren't on the radar. And then you can start picking them up off the waiver wire if you're one of the more astute people picking players off the waiver wire. So that was my philosophy going into the draft. I drafted just the way I wanted to draft. And during the first 3 weeks, I took three losses, but one of them was a more substantial loss than the other two. The other two were close losses that could really go on either way in a few categories. And I decided to make some moves on my pitching. I started picking up pitchers and moving other everyday players off and on the waiver wire. And two of my players, two of my main guns, got hurt and are still on the DL. But I decided to use the players that I...
Remember that. Remember your number one draft pick.
My number one draft pick, and I'm not getting rid of him because the fact is, when he comes back, he was hitting very well, or starting to hit very well, when he got hurt. By the time he comes back, there's going to be another teammate of him that's going to give him some support in the lineup, and I think that's going to help him that much more. So I'm very happy. Right now, I picked up Gene Segura. Don't ask me why he was sitting on the waiver wire. I think I picked him off the waiver wire for one. And he's one of the better shortstops in the league. I picked up Carlos Gomez, which I couldn't believe he's still sitting on the waiver wire, and I picked up him off the waiver wire. And there's a couple other players I can't think of off the top of my head that I picked up off the waiver wire, pitching and everyday players that – For whatever reason, I don't know if people were afraid to make moves, didn't want to make moves, didn't want to take a chance. I decided to pick these guys off the waiver wire. I recently picked off a young player, Jed Gorko, who was hot. He's cooled off a little bit, but he's a young player and he's a very good player that I think is going to. I'm gonna keep room on it on his roster. I have two DL positions. Okay, so I've added players on my team that when the players that are on the DL now come off the DL, I would have to eliminate. I have an idea which way I'm going to go. But until that happens, I keep an extra two players on my roster, which has helped me over the last few weeks to the position that it looks like at the end of Sunday, I will be at the top of my division, which is very, very, I'm very happy to do. Anyway, one of the things I decided to do over the last week is to make some drastic moves, even though my team's been performing pretty well the last 2-3 weeks, is to dump a few of my players. I wouldn't say dump, but move some of my players to
dumping.
Gain some more.
You're dumping.
No, because the players that I am moving are good players, but I'm making moves that a lot of people, and I really believe this, a lot of people would not make. You know, when you start winning, people get comfortable and keep their players and tend not to make more moves. I don't see it that way. I see that even though you're making moves and you're winning, there's room to improve, and you capitalize on your upside or the upside of the players and move them then to get the players that you can possibly pick up. So I've decided to move, and I made a trade for Brandon Phillips, which I really didn't want to give up, but I made the trade anyway, and Kelly Jansen, who's happens to be a setup man slash closer for Clay Buchholz, who's one of the better pitchers in the league, and that went through today. Okay, I have another trade with Mr. Gardner, which it should go through tomorrow, hopefully. That gives up two pitchers. One is Doug Fister from Detroit, and the other one I really don't want to give up, but I had to do this to get the pitcher that he would give to me, A.J. Burnett, because he wanted him. So I had a change of heart, and I said, you know what? I have to give to get. No risk, no reward. So I made the move, and he accepted it, and I'm picking up Zach Greinke from the L.A. Dodgers. So I've gotten rid of two starting pitchers, and I shouldn't say got rid of. I moved two starting pitchers. I moved two starting pitchers, and a very good setup man slash closer, and a very good second baseman to pick up two pitchers. Now I said before that I had a plan. And one of the plans was for me to pick up another pitcher. I picked up two pitchers already, and I wanted to pick up another pitcher.
Who'd you pick up?
And I'm about to tell you right now, as soon as I pick him up. Add this player. Just to make sure he's on my roster. Okay, he's on my roster. Thank God. Okay, one of the things I've always said is you have to do your research. You really have to do your research, especially if you're in a money league. If you have an ego that you want to win the league, you have to do your research. You have to look at all kind of media outlets and understand what's going on and when to make a move and not hesitate and wait and make a move later down the line. Well, I decided to make a move now versus when it comes to the time when it's actually going to be announced all over the place that this guy is going to be brought up and not have the chance to get this guy because he's one of the better pitching prospects, supposedly, in baseball and in National League, especially. Happens to be with my home team, the New York Mets. I wanted to get this guy on my roster as soon as possible because he's going to be coming up in the next few weeks. So I'd rather get him now than wait and not get him where I want to get him. And the pitcher I picked up, and I'm going to keep him on my bench because I got room because I got pitchers that I can use and still have this guy sitting on the bench.
Oh, my God.
Is Zach Wheeler.
You put everybody to sleep. Zach Wheeler.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Zach Wheeler. Absolutely. No. I had to give you what I'm thinking about here. The reason I'm saying this is you have to think ahead. You can't just think for now. It's all right to think for now, but you have to think ahead in order to be able to, I wouldn't say dominate, but win your league. And there's still another player that I'm going to be picking up, hopefully, depending on what happens tomorrow, whether it goes through or not, I'll pick up the other player, but I'm not going to say it now. Because the fact is, he's still sitting out there, As long as he's still sitting out there, I'm in good shape.
Give the people
and
your position. Give the people a position. Is it a pitcher?
No. It's an everyday player. Let me put it that way. It's an everyday player.
Well, I mean, that's good enough information, yeah.
Huh?
I said that's good information that he's an everyday player. That's good.
Yeah. He's an everyday player, and I'm still debating on a couple of them, but I think I've narrowed it down to two players. Unfortunately, Mr. FSP, I spoke, and he picked him up. One of the players I was looking at was Nick Punto, but you picked him up yesterday, and I think he had a...
I brought him up yesterday.
Okay.
I brought him up. You just said, you wouldn't put him on your team. Yeah. I'm the field hand. Let me go stab you in the back now.
but it is what it is. I'm expecting big things from Zach Wheeler, so... there's a couple of pitchers, at least one pitcher. I reevaluated and looked at my pitchers again today, depending on it. If I pick up Mr. Greinke tomorrow, one of those pitchers, or maybe two of those pitchers, are gone because there's still some good pitchers out there waiting to be picked up, and I'm the picker-upper. I'm the quicker picker-upper. Let me put it that way.
So you're bouncy, or you're brawn? You're bouncy or you're brawn? Which one are you? I think bouncy was the quicker picker-upper. You're stealing trademarks.
Yeah. No, I'm the master plan. I'm the quicker picker-upper.
Okay. Whatever. Go get that. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway.
Pick that cotton good, boy. Pick that cotton good, boy.
So, well, let me put it this way. Massa, I'll be sitting on top of my division while you're looking up at the bottom because you're getting toasted again. You're getting toasted again. Yeah.
I'm going to pull out this week by the end of the day. And I know why you like Game of Thrones, and it's not for the actual action. You like the TNA. That's all.
No.
That's the only reason why you like Game of Thrones.
No.
That midget is a beast.
What's that?
I said that midget's a beast. He reminds me of you.
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, man. You this is season three. You haven't watched season two or season one. In order to be up to speed, you got to watch it from the beginning. I've been hooked to season one, watching Game of Thrones, and it's gotten nothing but better. And it's only two episodes left before you have to wait until next year to for the next series. So that's I wouldn't say it's gratuitous, but it's a sign of the times the way it was so casual at the time. And it's a good thing, and I'm not trying to be whatever, but it's a good thing that they throw that in there because that puts more realism into what was exactly going on. So with that being said, I got a minute and a half left. I want to appreciate you calling. Is there anything that you wanted to come out and say on about the fantasy baseball that we've been doing or what?
Sure. You're going down like a clown. Your field can smack my hand. I don't know, but you got to go. You won't win again, my friend. Down with dope.
You just, let me put it this way, Vic. You keep saying, I'm not going to win. It's not like you're saying that. You're hoping I don't win again. You're hoping I don't win again. That's okay.
I'm going to put together a committee to take you down.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
A committee of us.
What's that?
I'm going to put a committee together to take you.
Oh, you know, that's not right. That's not. You can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot. You can't collude like that, man. You cannot do that. That's not right. And especially you being a commissioner, you can't do that. Stop.
Oh, no. I won't be making trades. We're just going to make sure that you lose the next 3 weeks. Because week 11, either week 10 or week 11, your bud is mine. I'm going to tell you now, don't show your face in broad daylight. I don't know the words, but I'm going to beat you like you stole something in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, I'm happy you think that way, because my team is only getting better. It's only getting better, and all I can tell you, to you and to whoever else is listening on the league, do your homework. You better look at these players that they're sitting out there, and don't be afraid to make some moves. You're a Hakuna Tata. He may be winning this week, but there's a few teams that should be making moves and moving players, and aren't doing it. And all they have to do is make a couple moves, but they won't do it because they're stuck on their players. I guess they want to see what's going to take place. But if you wait too long, it's hard to make up that ground. You're 26 games back. I made up half my ground in 1 week, from last week to this week.
You ain't got to throw my record out there. You ain't got to throw my record out there. But that's okay.
Well, Vic,
that's okay.
You know what? I've been trying to tell you. I've been trying to help you. And you being so hard-headed and so stubborn that when you finally got rid of somebody, you finally moved one of your big three. Because you had to move one of the big three to be able to even get somebody, players, to be able to be a little bit more competitive. I still think you got to move another one, but you probably say no way. Well, all I can tell you is good luck. All I can tell you, and I gave you two good pitchers. I know one of them didn't pitch well yesterday. I think he got a no decision. I don't think he got a loss. I think he got a no decision.
Yeah,
he got a loss.
Season.
Yeah.
No, he got a no decision.
Mm-hmm. But
you let that pull the trigger because I was ready. I'm like, oh, geez, no. I want Latos and I want Burnett. I don't want Sister. But if I get Verlander, I'll be okay.
Well, let me put it this way, man. Let me put it this way. I tell you this right up. You weren't going to get both of those for the simple reason that Latos was my Latos was my next highest strikeout pitcher.
I know.
Behind Burnett, and you weren't going to get both of them. No way. I hated to get rid of Burnett. He was the highest. He had almost 80 strikeouts. That was tough to get rid of. That was real tough to get rid of. With a great ERA and a good WHIP, so that hurt me. That really hurt me because I traded for him with you last year to get him, and so I liked him a lot. So you got two good pitchers on two good teams for one pitcher. So
I know.
So it wasn't like I ripped you off or anything like that. I didn't. I don't rip people off. No way. I try to push out fair trades as much as I can, and even sometimes leaning toward the person I'm trading with, because I'm not afraid to take chances. And people, for the most part, people think they're getting ripped off, or don't feel like they want to get ripped off. And most time people trade, and including you, most times people trade, they want to get the better of the trade, which is fine, and I don't have any problem with that. But I don't work that way. I work a different way. I don't have to get the better of the trade. Let me put it that way. I can push out two pitchers to get who I want because I'm willing to take that chance. A lot of people want to play it safe. I'm not that type of person playing it safe. So
I think that you are. You know, you say that, but then you get very happy. Jubilation comes about when you don't need hey, I got this player, I got that player, I got that sucker.
Right. Well, I'm happy because the fact is the players that I acquire. I give up good players to get a player. It's not like I give up hot garbage, and the person on the other end is willing to accept it. It's not hot garbage that I'm giving up. You should see the trade I got proposed to another team. I'm giving up a lot just to get one. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. We'll find out. We'll find out.
Why don't you just tell the people? Give the people an example of your greatness, oh, masterful.
No, not greatness. No. The reason I'm saying this is because I'm willing to put players out there to pick up a player. That has nothing to do with it being great or promoting myself. It's the fact that the point I'm trying to make is this: don't be afraid to take a chance. Don't be afraid to get the the perception of you getting the short end of a trade. If you're looking to get a player, take a chance. Now, don't be stupid when you take a chance, but take a calculated chance on putting a package of players together to get a player or a group of players that you want. That's what I'm saying. Don't be afraid to take a chance. Especially in a money league. Now, it doesn't make a difference. If you're in a league and you want to be competitive, you can't be afraid to take a chance. You're afraid to take a chance, then you're going to be very extremely conservative. And there's nothing wrong with being conservative, but at times you need to take a chance, especially if you're not doing as well as you thought you would be doing. You have to take chances in order to make a move upward. So that's the point. It has nothing to do with me saying how great I am. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with don't be afraid to take a chance. That's the bottom line. And with that being said, you have anything else that you want to say, my man?
No, I have more to say to all my fellow service members, especially those that are listening that had to unfall. As well as see you, JT. Even though you're an officer, you're worthless. We still have love for you and everybody else. So enjoy this holiday and enjoy your loved ones, because you never know when they become field hands how they're going to try to treat everybody that runs the fantasy leagues.
Hey, you know what? That being said, I want to wish all the servicemen, present and veterans, happy Memorial Day. Remember you as always. But you remember this, and I always close my show with this, and it's very apropos to what you're saying, because you call me a failed ham, but I'm listening. Just listen to this, because I always say this at the end of my show. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful. And I'll say this again very loud, Victor, how you treat people. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. I understand that. And like Mikel says, peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. And I'll end this show with, where is he at? Because I made this up here. For my man, I learned to appreciate this guy more and more as I get older. Not realizing... Mm-hmm. No, no.
I greatly appreciate that.
I learned to appreciate this guy more and more, his music more and more as I listen to him. I may be 59 years old, but I still listen to a little hip hop at times. And we're going to end this with a Tupac from To the End of Time. With that being said, I'm out.
about my childhood when it's my heart die. And even though we both came from the same places, the money and the fame made us all change places. How could it be through the misery that came to pass? Some hard times make a true friend afraid to ask. My currency, but you can run to me when you need, and I never leave, honestly. Someone to believe in, as you can see, it's a small thing to a truth. What could I do? Real homies help you get through. And coming new, he do the same thing if he could. Cause in the hood, true homies make you feel good. And half the time, he be acting up. Call the cops, bringing a cease to the peace that was on my block. And never stopped when my mama asked me, will I change? Tell her, yeah, but it's clear I'll always be the same. Until the end of time. My heart said seem to scare all my sister's kids. So you know I don't hang around the house much. This all night money making got me out of touch. Shit, ain't blessed to smile in a long while. An unexpected birth works of the ghetto child. My attitude got me walking solo, ride all alone in my Lolo, watching the whole world move in slow mo. My quiet times disappear, listen to the ocean, smoking poison, take my thoughts in the fact that posted. Who can I trust in this cold world? My phony homie had a baby by my old girl, but I ain't tripping, I'm a player, I ain't sweating him. I think the sister had a mama like a Mexican. It's Mexican, no remorse, it was meant to happen. Besides rapping, only thing I did.